Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Popular weight loss drugs and other factors appear to be bending the curve on obesity in the U.S.
U.S. obesity rates are down for the first time in over a decade, dipping from 46% in 2022 to 45.6% last year. Researchers who conducted the study in JAMA Health Forum credit factors like increased physical activity post-COVID and the rise of weight loss medications, including GLP-1 receptor antagonists like Ozempic. The South, where these drugs were prescribed the most, saw meaningful declines, but experts point out this region also experienced high COVID-19 mortality rates among those with obesity. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We're getting rumblings that Luigi Mangione, accused assassin of the United Healthcare chief exec, may drop his fight against extradition from Altoona, Pennsylvania, to New York City. Texas is suing a New York physician for prescribing the so-called abortion pill to a woman near Dallas in violation of Texas law. This is ABC News. 84-year-old House Speaker Nancy Pelosi took a fall during her visit to Luxembourg, injured a hip, and will likely need surgery.
In cases like this, we are told by doctors that surgery is recommended within the first 48 hours of an injury. Pelosi's office has put out a statement. They say that she is currently receiving, quote, excellent treatment from doctors and medical professionals and looks forward to returning home.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. 2 years of widespread layoffs across multiple industries may be turning around. Corporate decision makers reading the tea leaves for next year.
Online employment marketplace ZipRecruiter has surveyed hiring managers at 2,000 businesses nationwide, finding that 76% plan to add to their headcounts in the coming year. 23% predict significant growth. Only 1 in 20 anticipate workforce reductions. The highest optimism is coming from tech, financial services, and healthcare companies.
Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Wisconsin Innocence Project is ending the year with some key victories, including helping with the release of two men who each spent decades in prison. But their cases illustrate systemic issues. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
David Bince spent 25 years in prison, and Manuel Cucutta spent 27 years in prison. Both were sentenced to life despite glaring holes in their cases. The Wisconsin Innocence Project believed both are innocent. Project co-director Christopher Lau says it speaks to a greater systemic issue that colors most of their cases and reinforces what it was designed to do.
So part of this is just historical. You know, the way our policing and incarceration system evolved was from basically their vestiges of slavery. And, you know, we try to keep down historically underrepresented people.
He says while not everyone may adopt those views, there is a lot of pressure to close cases and keep people incarcerated. The U.S. incarcerates more people for longer than any other developed country in the world. Compared with Wisconsin's total population, Black and Native people are overrepresented in the incarcerated population, with Black people incarcerated at a rate 11 times higher than white people. Lau says in order to even begin to think about reform, The U.S. and the state of Wisconsin need to re-examine priorities in funding, as well as rethink the point of doling out such long sentences when it doesn't keep communities safer.
Good arguments that it makes us less safe, but we still keep doing it because it's, I think, one, easy politically, and it's because it's where we put all of our money.
He says, regardless of guilt or innocence, there are simply too many people who are incarcerated. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds tonight, temperatures rise through the single digits and teens. And a mostly cloudy day for tomorrow, some sleet, freezing rain, and snow in the afternoon. Highs in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy and warmer Sunday, highs to the upper 30s. Currently it's 12 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome talent manager and actress Heather Arndt and Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge, who drops by the studio for some laughs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from my dining room and at Radio Park in Racine, respectively. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show, as we pretty much always do today. Yeah. Allie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls is going to be joining us. Of course, the book ban attempts continue, and so we'll get an update on that. Dan Schaefer, of course, from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, joining us right after the 11 o'clock news, and he will be with us for most of the hour, and then we will wrap everything up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Here's Looking at You, Kid edition. Also, it's underway. Civic Media's latest statewide text to win contest, the Grown Up Gift List contest, is happening now, next hour, again, right after the 11 o'clock news. We're going to have a keyword for you that you want to text in using the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it yet, you have an hour to go download the Civic Media app. Just go to wherever you get your apps. It is absolutely free, as Greg likes to say. And next hour, then, you're going to want to go to the Civic Media app. You open it up. Hit the little text button. You can pick your station, whatever station is close to you, whatever one you like to listen to. You text in that word, and then you have a shot at an overnight stay or $100 in cash, that overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, or $100. And then everyone who enters gets a shot at one of 8 grand prizes, including espresso machines. We have a snowblower, I understand. Some robotic vacuums that are very popular. So download the Civic Media app. Be ready for next hour for the statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest across Civic Media. I'm going to start off with something we saw in Wisconsin Public Radio this morning from Joe Schultz. Headline reads, Foxconn qualifies for another round of tax credits, bringing total subsidies past $52 million. Now, we do like to rag on Foxconn and the boondoggle that it was. Now they are actually doing some things. In late October, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation notified Foxconn that it will get its latest round of tax credits. In 2023, Foxconn employed 1,114 people and did make nearly $24.6 million in capital investments. Hiring and investments were both down last year compared to the year before, but the total tax credits Foxconn qualified for up from the $6.3 million. It's still a lot of money. In a statement, Foxconn says it's added more employees beyond the ones reported last year. And as of this year, Foxconn says it's spent nearly $2 billion in Wisconsin through capital investments, payroll, and taxes. They say the operations continue to contribute to Foxconn's role as a leading maker of 40% of the world's server supply. They're grateful for their dedicated team of over 1,000 employees who make this all possible. Of course, they first qualified for the tax credits in 2021, then qualified for $8.57 million. Subsidies came, as we will recall, after Wisconsin renegotiated with Foxconn in 2021, scaling it back from the original deal signed by Governor Scott Walker in 2017. Yeah, that would have given them nearly $3 billion in credits to the company. Foxconn at that time, of course, had promised to hire 13,000 workers. And as we just heard, now they're employing a little over 1,100 workers, which is still good.
It's still good.
Those are 1,100 jobs we didn't have before, so that's good.
But it's
certainly not 13,000.
With a median pay of $73,000. That's what they said when they first rammed those golden shovels into the soils of Racine County.
The current agreement, reworked by the Evers administration, came after Foxconn acknowledged it would not go forward with the original deal. Huh.
Yeah.
Offers up to $80 million for 1,454 jobs and $672 million in investments. Not all residents in Mount Pleasant are reassured by this, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
One woman says she's worried that Foxconn could just pack up and leave after it gets up to that $80 million in state credits.
Yeah. I mean,
There's nothing that would stop them from doing that, correct?
They're a big enough company, and they have, honestly, 1,200 employees. That's a small enough, I think, workforce investment where they could say, hey, we're going to move our operations here or there, or we're just going to close down. I mean, here's the deal. This is a company with not only a history of, like, terrible human rights violations, in my opinion, or I should say is the way they handle their employees stressing out of their jobs. And just look up Nets and Foxconn. That happens in other countries, but they have a huge history and a reputation of going into states and getting them for the best deal they can, and then using their resources and underperforming, not performing, leaving, doing what they want. They have no consistency. And Wisconsin, under the leadership of Scott Walker and Ron Johnson and Donald Trump, fell for this. Just absolute hook, line, and sinker. Eighth wonder of the world. I know what that means, but in the sense of this, what does that mean? Are you kidding me? Did you really think this was going to be what you thought it would? They promised? They didn't care. I mean, they didn't care. They didn't care.
And I think that's the point right there, Greg, is that they really weren't concerned about that. This was an effort to get Scott Walker reelected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which and didn't work.
Made all kinds of promises. And yeah, I would be too bad we'll never know the reality of what those dealings were like and all the closed door meetings and all those closed door discussions between Foxconn and the Walker administration. Well, John Ryan is communications director for the Village of Mount Pleasant. He says that Foxconn is currently the village's largest taxpayer. And Robin Voss just brought this up not too long ago.
I was just going to say something that really, and we talked about it earlier this week, that's burning my grits hard, is that trying to rewrite the historical books on this deal and making it seem like, oh, if it wasn't for Foxconn, we wouldn't have Microsoft or Eli Lilly. Well, you know what? I can't tell the future and I can't rewrite the past, but that's what Robin Voss is trying to do. And he's trying to take this turd and polish it up into something that says, oh, well, because they came here, Microsoft. Well, if Foxconn would have done what they said they were going to do, there wouldn't be the land to purchase for Microsoft. They'd be too busy creating 13,000 jobs. They didn't. They failed. They admitted it, and they are getting tax breaks for it. So Robin Voss can look at those history books and reread the words any way he likes, but this deal that he stood behind was a massive failure.
It was a boondoggle.
Yes. Yep.
It was. Again, this woman who lives in Mount Pleasant says, I think once there are no more state incentives for Foxconn to achieve, it would surprise nobody that they'll move out. I think they're just playing a waiting game. And once they cap out, they're gone. Again, we don't know that to be true. Maybe they'll stay there forever and it'll be wonderful. And they'll get it up to 1,500 jobs.
I mean, but the thing is that their past behavior definitely leaves that option as a possibility, a real possibility. So, Tony on the live stream says, how dare you bring facts and logic to Foxconn, Greg? Very true.
Shame on you.
My mistake. But
shame on you.
It's just really frustrating because, I mean, anyone who had to have a brain in their head, the day that this all went down, everyone said, this isn't going to work. This is too good. This is too good. This is too much. I mean, just to come out of nowhere, I don't know. I'll be angry over Foxconn for years. Because it just feels like they used us.
And you're right. Andrew from Maine asked if this is the Taiwanese company. And yes, Andrew, it is.
Yes.
That's where Foxconn is based. And you, like Greg said, you can Google Foxconn and nets on buildings and find out how in some of their facilities around the world, they had to install nets on the top of buildings so employees would not jump off of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their working conditions overseas are not good. At all, along with a lot of other companies in a lot of other countries as well. That's a whole different kettle of fish to try to get at. But for right now, we're just talking about the fact that, you know, they provided about 10% of the jobs. And yeah, you're right. 1,200 jobs is better than no jobs.
Without a doubt.
But our tax dollars are going to them for not completing it and not going all the way through. And if this was a deal signed under Tony Evers and it would have been, you know, 2,000 jobs, 3,000 jobs, and it was 2,999 jobs, Robin Voss would light Twitter up like a house fire saying how big of a failure this is. But no.
I know. Yeah. Look what we did.
Yeah.
Look at all the good things that we did.
Yeah.
Do we know what the average salary is of these 1,100 people?
It's very hard. I was trying to find out how many people.
I don't think it's $73,000 a year.
I mean,
maybe there's a few, but I would be very surprised.
It ranges between 40 to 103,000. So.
Oh. Well, 40, that's not bad.
$17 an hour for machine operators, assemblers, SMT operators. It goes up from their human resources, blah, blah. I mean, they aren't bad paying jobs either. But once again, it was 13,000. And that's not what we got. And they're making money off of us. And they get to
we're not going to let them rewrite history.
Nope.
Right? We're here to remind.
Yeah, we're just
here as reminders.
Welcome to our new segment, A Friendly Reminder with Jane and Greg.
All right, when we return, we're going to get a little updates on Greg Bach's birthday celebration and find out what happened with that. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She is mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane, Jane.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
We're going to meet each other out in beautiful Seattle. My youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because there's no hotel cost. I crash on people's couches, right?
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing. You're
correct.
Thrifty, my friend. Are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes. Yes, he is.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you live from my dining room and also Radio Park. In Racine, you can always join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we are going to talk to Hallie Schmeling. She is co-lead of Grassroots Menomonee Falls. The school board there recently, they're still banning books, and they are not, at least from what I see, they're not following their own procedures about the process of, so if we're going to ban this book, and then the parents who don't want them to ban the book are supposed to be able to come and explain why and how this has affected them. And yeah, it doesn't seem like they're following through on those things. So Hallie is going to be updating us after the 10:30 news. Dan Schaefer will be here after 11 o'clock from the recombobulation area. We'll talk about all things statewide. And one story he wants to talk about is about what the GOP is trying to get away with in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. The pettiness of North Carolina, their GOP party, you can drizzle that on pancakes. It's so thick and delicious.
Our GOP is probably envious of that, you know, their party in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, like, really when it comes down to it, the GOP in North Carolina is just kind of taking a page out of the book of Wisconsin. But we'll get to that when Dan Schaefer comes around here after 11 o'clock when in the next hour.
And then we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here's Looking at You Kid edition. And by the way, we're putting together a best of Tisbets that we're going to air on New Year's Eve day. And then we'll rerun that on New Year's Day as well. So I hope you can join us for that. If you missed it yesterday, the reason I am in my dining room is because I had a flat tire yesterday on the way to work. And it was completely destroyed. So we had to order a new tire. And that is not in yet. And yesterday was also Greg Bach's birthday.
Was indeed.
So what was the big celebration? You said that you had not yet decided what you were going to do.
Well, I got in my car, I drove to Illinois, and I bought a new car.
You did?
I did. I've been looking.
Which is just a spur-of-the-moment thing?
Absolutely not. I'm not a spur-of-the-moment type of person, especially with purchases of this size. I've been looking at cars for probably the past 3-4 months. I told myself at the end of 2024 or the beginning of 2025 that I was going to get myself a new car because mine is going on 15 years old and it still runs, but I wanted to just upgrade. And so I went there. I took a test drive. I'd been doing my research on that model and that price range. And the model was in Illinois and I got it. So I have a brand new car. Brand new to me. 2023 okay. Model. So it's still nice. Pretty. It's still got that new car smell. And yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm very excited to play around. Because nowadays, it's not just put your key in, turn it on, go driving. It's like, all right, now I have to open the chapter on the sound system. Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun putzing around with the car. And did spend a little bit of time on it.
I know you've been researching this for a while.
Yeah, but I got there at 1:30 yesterday in the afternoon, and I didn't leave until nearly 6:30. Oh my So there was a lot.
Was it the signing, all the signing of the paperwork?
Well, it was the signing of the paperwork. I took a deal on something. He gave me, he threw in something that I had to put the car back into the shop, and they had to like not reupholster, but like spray it down with this chemical that like protects it from stains. He threw that in for free, and it just took a little bit longer than I expected, but it's fine. I have it. It's in the parking lot right now. I can't wait to go look at it. And yeah. And then I went home and we ate pizza and watched SNL, and that was my day. And that was perfect.
Like a nice happy birthday.
Yeah, and Bridget, my wife, was very, 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 very generous to me. My family gave me some lovely presents, and you know, it was a fantastic day. 47 feels good, and very, very thankful for all the wonderful wishes and happy birthdays I got, especially from Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Explain that.
We had Senator Tammy Baldwin on the show yesterday, and I mentioned to her aide, Aisling, who was wonderful and was always helpful with us, that I was like, oh, that's the birthday present for me, yay. And then she told the senator, and the senator wished me happy birthday on the show yesterday. And we have it on file now for the records. And I looked at it again, and I went blush from forehead to chin. I was just a big old matchstick. I just looked like a big old matchstick. I was so red. It was so funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's so great. Do you have a name for the car?
Not yet. It's a gray Nissan Rogue. So maybe a Star Wars thing, because like Rogue One. I know that means not a lot to a lot of people, but it means something to me. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll have a contest or a thing. Name Greg's car. Keep it clean.
Kari McCarface.
Kari McCar. Rogie McRogueface.
There's all kinds of potential.
Yes, exactly.
There.
Exactly.
There's all kinds of potential there.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, that's very exciting. Well, good for you.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see the new wheels.
Yeah. Super cool.
I will. I promise also, by the way, that I will bring you a fresh birthday Kringle for you on Monday.
And that's very nice of you. And I wouldn't even care if you brought the Kringle in from yesterday. We need it.
Once I knew that I wasn't going to get the car back and I was going to have to work from home tomorrow, Paul and I kind of decimated at least
half
the Kringle. So, yeah,
what flavor did you get?
It's a cream cheese and cherry.
Corey Hartman, our wonderful head engineer here, extraordinaire, is in Racine today. He brought a Kringle, the cream cheese and cherry edition. What?
Was meant to be.
Exactly.
It was just meant to be. All right. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Popular weight loss drugs and other factors appear to be bending the curve on obesity in the U.S.
U.S. obesity rates are down for the first time in over a decade, dipping from 46% in 2022 to 45.6% last year. Researchers who conducted the study in JAMA Health Forum credit factors like increased physical activity post-COVID and the rise of weight loss medications, including GLP-1 receptor antagonists like Ozempic. The South, where these drugs were prescribed the most, saw meaningful declines, but experts point out this region also experienced high COVID-19 mortality rates among those with obesity. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We're getting rumblings that Luigi Mangione, accused assassin of the UnitedHealthcare chief exec, may drop his fight against extradition from Altoona, Pennsylvania to New York City. Texas is suing a New York physician for prescribing the so-called abortion pill to a woman near Dallas in violation of Texas law. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A win for Badgers volleyball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team came back last night to eliminate Texas A&M 3-2 in the NCAA regionals. The Badgers will play Nebraska Sunday at 2 p.m. carried on ABC TV. The Cornhuskers beat the Badgers twice during a regular season. NBA, the Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks today in the NBA Cup semifinals as the tournament gets underway in Las Vegas. Baseball, the Brewers say it's a good deal. They traded away closer Devin Williams to the New York Yankees in exchange for two players, left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez, infielder Caleb During, and for cash consideration. The 30-year-old Williams was with the Brewers for 6 years. NFL, Packers headed to Seattle to face the Seahawks tomorrow night. Defensive back Jair Alexander, still dealing with a knee injury, was not at practice yesterday.
Why wasn't he there?
Just based on what I saw over the last couple days, didn't feel like he was ready to play.
So will he be out then this week?
Yeah.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds tonight, temperatures rise through the single digits and teens. And a mostly cloudy day for tomorrow, some sleet, freezing rain, and snow in the afternoon. Highs in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy and warmer Sunday, highs to the upper 30s. Currently it's 12 degrees.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same. It's 855 752
4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to download the Civic Media app. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. Download the Civic Media app right after the 11 o'clock news. We will have a keyword for you to text in using the Civic Media app. It is our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. And up for grabs next hour, either $100 in cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Everyone who enters in the running for one of eight grand prizes, including a snowblower, espresso machines, robot vacuums, and many, many more. So get ready for that coming your way right after the 11 o'clock news. Very excited to be joined by our guest. Hallie Schmeling is with Grassroots Menominee Falls. Good morning, Hallie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For people who are unfamiliar with Grassroots Menominee Falls, Hallie, can you tell folks what it is that you guys do?
Yeah, we're just a nonpartisan like community group that literally is focusing on local governance. And so we're helping just get out information about what's going on and then encouraging people to get involved.
It's so important that people get accurate information.
You're telling me.
The quote of the day.
Right? But I just read another article yesterday, and we'll probably talk about this next week, about the amount of news deserts in our country as small papers have folded, as radio stations have closed or all gone automated. And when you are limited in that way to your access to accurate news, it really has long-reaching impacts. So I think it's really important, the work that you guys do to make sure that people understand what's actually going on, sometimes in their very own backyard. So we got a press release from you that I wanted to talk about. Grassroots Menominee Falls disheartened by the school board's refusal to meet with families and community members affected by the removal of the book Love Makes a Family from district schools. So first of all, Hallie, tell us how horrifying this book is and dangers involved in touching and reading this book and why it absolutely must be banned.
Well, July 8th is when they banned this book. So I had come on to tell you guys that they banned this book back then, right? Now we're in December. We're not stopping. No. But basically, it's a book about love. So like it's a board book, right? So it's for young children. It's maybe six pages long. You know, it says like love is making a cake. Love is waking up your parents in the morning. Love is whatever. And on the book about waking up your parents in the morning, there is a picture of a bed, you know, like the kids are coming in with maracas, and then in the bed is two people, and there's assumptions being made that they're either transgender, they're gay, you know, like there's no like, you know, flashing lights that say like this is a gay couple. It's just a picture of two people in a bed that have been taken to the nth degree. So
I just have to take a moment again. It's remarkable to me these assumptions that they make.
Yes.
And it just seems so it's so innocuous and innocent, and they are importing their own biases onto this.
Well, it's not even like the it's a biases that's built in of fear of the absolute unknown, from the fact that they don't know for sure. It's a drawing for one thing. And then also just be like, well, it's probably two gay guys, or even worse, a transgendered man.
Yep. I mean, it's a stretch. It's a total stretch to what it could be, you know. And I think too, what's really sad in it is the assumptions of that a four-year-old will have the brain capacity to be like, mom or dad or grandma or whoever's their caretaker, to be like, those are two gay people in a bed together. What does that mean?
You know, like, if a four-year-old said that to me, I'd be like, you are really smart to form that long of a sentence that's cohesive.
Right. Yes. So it's very much adults putting their judgment, hate, bias into a situation and making a decision from that space versus what's developmentally appropriate, what the importance of even understanding having books like that for children, whether they come from LGBTQ families or not. You know, like there's no source of expertise in this decision.
And yet the school board has hooked on the term, hook, line, and sinker on it, and they're being obstinate and not even meeting with people who have questions, correct?
Yeah. So after this happened, you know, as grassroots, we're just really, you know, educating the community about what's going on. So a family independent of grassroots decided to file a discrimination complaint. And it literally is just a policy within the school district of Menominee Falls that you can file a complaint if there's discrimination. Now, I think where it got a little unique is that they're used to like person A discriminated against person B, where this complaint is literally the school district, the school board, you know, district leadership of Menominee Falls is discriminating against LGBTQ families because of banning this book.
Yeah.
So, which you can still do that. And so there's four steps through that process. Step one is meeting with, they met with HR. And then from the conversations that HR had with families who were affected and the family that filed the discrimination complaint, they could either say, yep, there is discrimination, or nope, we dismiss you. They dismissed and went on to step two, which went to the superintendent. The superintendent spoke with the family who filed the discrimination complaint, which I should tell you guys, this discrimination complaint is like 10 pages long. Like, they did their research.
Yeah.
They know what they're talking about. Yeah. It's not just like, this is how I feel today, you know, and here's a paragraph. Like, it is heavy in like evidence. He said, nope, I'm going to dismiss you. So step three in the policy says it goes to the school board. And then at the next convenient meeting, they will hear from the families affected. Well, they decided to say, we're not going to meet with you. We're just going to have you guys go on to step four, which is filing it with the Department of Public Instruction. So
I'm sorry, what cowards? These are, right. These are their own policies.
Uh-huh.
These are their own procedures. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to actually have to talk to anybody or have anybody yell at us. So we're just going to skip number three and go to number four.
Can DPI, once they get that complaint, if they go to step four, can they almost like in a move like the Supreme Court say, no, go back to step three. You didn't do step three, so we don't get it yet. You take care of this first.
I like your perspective.
Thank you very much.
I guess they could, but I do know. So they did file on to step four.
Yeah.
And all we've heard from DPI is that they're going to take a look at it, but it requires interviewing district leadership, interviewing families affected, and then it could take months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on one end, I feel like, you know, Jill Underlie, you know, the state superintendent, has been very vocal on her stance on supporting LGBTQ families and students. So I'm like, all right, if that's what she's run on, you know, like, here you go.
Yep.
Like,
here's your chance.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
here's the money. Put it where your mouth is. Let's go. Let's do this.
Right.
Yeah.
But of course, as we're seeing, you know, like this all happened in July and we're in December right now. So it's a long process. Mm. And, you know, I just really feel for the families who like specifically identify as LGBTQ, where it's already they're marginalized. And then on top of it, they have to like take this on and it's public and it's, you know, like it's a lot of weight to carry for a long time.
Absolutely. So, not to mention the expense. I'm sure they had to have legal advice.
Correct.
And
yes.
And go on.
Well, I was just going to say, and so grassroots and then community members, big shout out to people who have financially supported working with lawyers to help with this. But right, working with lawyers, I've never done it before, but woo, I am like, this is what, number one, I should have been a lawyer. But number two, I'm like, this is, you know, a whole nother world and different ways of looking at it and finding evidence and then stepping forward. You know, it's just, it's a cumbersome process.
I think also let's remind ourselves too that this is all over a book where it is not even outwardly that this is a gay couple, a trans couple, a queer couple. Correct. It is just one or two people saying, you know what that looks like? I think it looks like we don't want this. And now we're here over this.
Yep. Well, yes. And a couple things I think about with that is, you know, so something beautiful that has come from it is people are coming out of the woodwork, right? They're just like, my soul is crushed by this. I cannot believe this is happening in our school district. How can I get involved? What can I do? And so it was beautiful on Monday, December 9th. So this past Monday, we showed up to the school board meeting and basically we're like, since you won't talk to us, we're going to talk during public comment during your, you know, biweekly school board meeting. Yeah. And it was a beautiful display of people standing up and like, you know, I had no idea how many people were going to talk. I had no idea what they were going to say, but people just, you know, standing up and speaking from their hearts. Everyone hit such great, you know, points and perspectives and just like, wow. And like, I'll even give a shout out. We had two students from the district who spoke, and one student in particular that I was like, okay, right. I would have never thought of this, where she was like, you guys, this is shapes and colors. It's a picture. Like, we allow a book with a boy running around in underwear to be read by children. And she's like, it's called Captain Underpants. And nobody bats an eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just so that perspective of like, she's just like, I don't get it. Like, since I was young, I've been reading about a boy in underwear. And that's okay.
Right. Is that not sexual? Does that not cause kids to have sexual thoughts about underwear? Right. I don't know.
Children in underwear. I read this book and I just want children in underwear. It's right. But that's always what we see here in these situations where specifically queer, whether it's literature, art of any form, as soon as hackles are raised, as soon as pearls are clutched, you can look to 300 other examples of hypocrisy, whether it's on television, in movies, in art, books, video games, of sexualizing young girls. No one has a problem with that until it's a problem, but they don't have a problem with any of these things. But yet this drawn couple in a book that we don't know for sure what their gender is causing this kerfuffle. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. I mean, so we had examples of that to, like, shout out to a mother who is explaining publicly that this, because she is gay herself, like, this has had such an impact on her young child, like, who's in the district, who is confused, who is like, I don't understand. Like, like, questioning, are my moms bad?
Sure.
You know, and I just am like, wow. Like, and the ability to sit there and say nothing. The ability to sit there and not even reach out afterwards, like, I can't identify with that, you know, like, human to human. Like, this is a problem. Mm. And so, you know, it goes like, yes, there's this small micro image, you know, like, problem issue of the book. But the macro issue is like, you're not serving those that you're representing. You know, like, you're not doing what you were, like, voted in to do. And I'm like, how did we get here? And, like, what are we doing?
We're going to continue our conversation with Hallie Schmeling from Grassroots Menominee Falls. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A book by looking at the cover.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Hey, Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Here's Looking at You Kid edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Our guest is Hallie Schmeling. She's co-lead of Grassroots Menominee Falls, and we're talking about this dangerous book called Love Makes a Family. It's a whole six-page board book that's been banned because there is a drawing of a couple in bed, and their sexuality is kind of amorphous. And some have put on this drawing that they're gay or trans or something. And so the school board met on Monday night, Hallie. A lot of parents, students came forward to step up and talk about this. And the school board, it just seems like they just blow them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 100% how it feels. I'll also offer, I feel like they're doubling down, because while I was sitting here, someone must be listening. So, hi. They sent me a post that the Menominee Falls School District posted today on Facebook about like December being Human Rights Month. And so the statement basically goes, it's a little bit longer, but to shorten it, it says, in Menominee Falls Schools, we support everyone and work hard to create a safe and welcoming environment for all. Let's uphold these principles throughout December and beyond.
Oh, stop it.
That's funny. That's really, you know, I'm looking at a picture from the book that they're talking about. I don't know if this cat in the bed is gay either. So I'm really upset. There's a cat in the bed. This could be a transgender gay cat. And I'm very upset about, I'm honestly, I cannot tell. You cannot tell when you look at it that it's, one of them definitely looks like a man because he has a big old beard, but yeah,
Tom from LA on the live stream says, I'm going to go make sure that everyone in Menominee Falls gets a copy of this book.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. We did do that. We had a big event actually for Banned Book Week. It was in September. A group of folks from Grassroots handed out Love Makes a Family at the lower elementary schools, like off campus, but right at drop off.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
And so, we did hand out the books, and honestly, that was well received too. People were like, thank you so much. I've been curious how to get my hands on this book. We're like, well,
there you go.
Now they're in the homes.
And I wanted to share with you too, Hallie, you know, since the election, a lot of us have been processing a lot of things. And I did see a text a couple of weeks ago who was also a very big supporter of the LGBTQ plus community and just said, I'm just so heartbroken. I'm just so disappointed and frustrated and don't know what to do next. But I think what you saw at the school board meeting on Monday, that's what you do. That's what you do next, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think what keeps me moving forward, despite, you know, these are hard emotions to feel of anger and confusion and just like it's wrong, is connecting with like-minded people and then like creating action out of it. You know, like it was, you know, for, I think there was about 13 people who spoke, but every chair was filled. So you kind of pick and choose, like, where in your action are you comfortable? Are you comfortable sitting there showing solidarity, or are you the one to be the one speaking on the mic, you know, or anywhere in between, whether it was, you know, people who donated financially, you know, I just, stay connected is the biggest thing I keep telling people, even, you know, for this and then the presidency, of like, we have to stay connected to one another. I know we want to check out. I know we want to ignore it because then it, you know, it helps the feelings feel better. But I'm like, let's stay connected and keep this going, because it's wrong and we have to stand up against it.
I was going to want, I was wondering in all the divisiveness that we have in the world, In grassroots Menominee Falls, do you have parents and people who are a part of the group who come from different political ends who say things like, you know, I'm a conservative, but banning this book is ridiculous. Of course I might. Like, do you have a wide swath of people with differing opinions who come together for this common goal?
Yeah, more and more. Over the past 2 years, we've been really intentional about just keeping it local.
Yeah.
Because for a time it was going more statewide, and then people have had the assumption that we were just a bunch of raging Democrats in Menominee Falls. But since the last 2 years, we've been going more local. Yes. So many more people are connecting with us and being like, okay, I traditionally identify, you know, conservative. Or a lot of people who are just like apathetic, moderate, who are just like, huh? You know, that like,
yeah,
just a typical average neighbor is like, what's going on? You know, and so encouraging them to show up, to hear, to understand, to tell their friends, that's kind of the purpose of what we're doing. Oh, yeah, it's definitely increased.
And I think you make such a good point, Hallie, about staying connected, because those feelings of despair and worry, it's that much worse when you are cut off from everyone, and then you kind of spiral into that. It's just not good for you.
No.
Reach out and get involved. Grassroots Menominee Falls. Hallie Schmeling is the co-lead. Thank you so very much, Hallie. We will have you back on after the new year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. But I need a break, and I want to be a playback writer. Hey, playback writer.
Hey, playback
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll continue a conversation with author Laura Bird, full of recommendations for books that also make great holiday gifts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A global consulting firm will pay nine figures to settle criminal charges linked to its role in the opioid debacle.
McKinsey & Company has agreed to a $650 million settlement over federal charges of conspiring with Purdue Pharma to misbrand OxyContin and other opioids, fueling the nation's addiction epidemic. Federal prosecutors in Massachusetts and Virginia say McKinsey knowingly worked to boost opioid sales from 2012 to 2018 and even destroyed documents to cover it up. The firm charged with conspiracy to defraud the U.S. had already paid over $500 million in a 2021 settlement with states over its opioid-related work. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Federal public health officials say overall respiratory illnesses, flu, COVID, RSV, are at moderate levels nationwide, but rising. On the Let's Talk with Cat podcast, Crystal Mangum, who in 2006 accused three Duke University lacrosse players of raping her, admitted publicly for the first time she made up the whole thing. This is ABC News.
That doesn't happen.
First Lady Jill Biden hosted a Toys for Tots event at the White House.
The First Lady joined military families at the White House to sort toys that will be distributed to families in need ahead of the holidays. In brief remarks, she thanked the group for, quote, bringing delight to children across the nation. It's the fourth year Biden has taken part in a Toys for Tots event. The program was started back in 1947. According to the First Lady's office, it has helped to distribute more than 650 million toys to nearly 300 million children to date. Molly Nagel, ABC News, The White House.
Shop Talk, Frankie Muniz, Bryan Cranston, and Jane Kaczmarek are reuniting for a new four-episode run of Malcolm in the Middle for Disney+. 25 years after the beloved sitcom first launched, the premise for the reunion, Hal and Lois are demanding Malcolm's for their 40th wedding anniversary. The new episode is to be crafted by original series creator Linwood Boomer. No air dates were announced for the Malcolm in the Middle relaunch. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show.